This is Word of Mouth from NHPR. I'm Virginia Prescott. On the evening of October 9th, 2012, 19-year-old UNH student Lizzie Marriott left her home in Chester, New Hampshire, to meet up with a coworker in Dover. She was never seen again. For the next 2 years, the tragic circumstances of Lizzie's disappearance dominated the headlines, and details of the case rocked the Seacoast.
It was inevitable that Seth Mazzaglia was going to kill.
The defendant and McDonough schemed about how they could exploit her sexually.
And Lizzie Marriott was the perfect victim for him.
Kevin Flynn and Rebecca Lavoie wrote about the Seth Mazzaglia case in Dark Heart, a true story of sex manipulation and murder. Rebecca is also NHPR's digital director. And Rebecca, thanks for coming all this way.
Thank you, Virginia.
And Kevin Flynn, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me back.
So refresh our memories. What were Seth Mazzaglia and Catherine McDonough charged with, and what were their respective sentences?
Seth Mazzaglia was charged with first-degree murder. He's alleged to have lured Lizzie Marriott with the help of his girlfriend, Kat McDonough, to his apartment in Dover. They allegedly had designs on convincing Lizzie to join them in a three-way sexual liaison. And when that didn't go as planned, the state says that Seth strangled Lizzie. When he was put on trial, Seth's defense was that Lizzie died during a consensual sex act. And it basically became a he said, she said, because Lizzie's body was never recovered.
And how about Kat McDonough, the girlfriend? What was she charged with?
Well, she got what many people considered a sweetheart deal. She was charged with obstruction of justice and some other minor charges, but they were able to leverage that into her testimony against Seth Mazzaglia. But, you know, when you look at it, really, Kat held all the cards because, again, it was a he said, she said.
And what's interesting is that in the state of New Hampshire, and what a lot of people didn't know, especially people who are watching the case from outside the state, which a lot of people were because it was a sensational trial and Lizzie Marriott was from Massachusetts, is there is no accessory after the fact law in New Hampshire. So even though Kat McDonough admitted that she helped Seth get rid of Lizzie Marriott's body in the Piscataqua River, that's not actually a crime to know somebody that committed a murder, to not report it, and then also to do something to the body. She cannot be charged with murder if the state indeed thinks that she didn't actually commit the act.
Now, you two have written together on several true crime novels about especially local cases. What was it about this case that interested you?
This one in particular was interesting to me because it was less about Seth Mazzaglia and what he was accused of, and more about his girlfriend, Kat McDonough, who, by all accounts, when she met Seth, was a very normal, you know, well-liked 17-year-old theater girl that was bubbly and vivacious and had friends and had a normal high school student's life. And within a year and a half, she was pushing the body of her friend into the water. And what was that evolution? How does that look when you have somebody who takes that turn in their life?
What was also compelling as a story was there were details that came out about their sex life, a very extreme form of BDSM, mm-hmm. way beyond what many people are familiar with in 50 Shades of Grey. And there was also this other kind of fantasy life in which Seth convinced Kat that they had lived past lives together, that currently there are other personas that they had in this place beyond the veil of existence, and that those characters were affecting things in the real world. And that was part of the manipulation that that she alleged and that the state alleged was how Seth was able to control Kat.
In fact, the name Dark Heart, the name of the book, is one of his aliases. They both had several different sort of characters that they took on in this fantasy world. But neither Kat nor Seth would talk to you for the book. But you were able to really reconstruct their relationship using Facebook messaging largely, which confused me because with everything that's going on, the fight between Apple and the FBI over access to data, this was public record at that point?
It was. And sometimes when we talk about, you know, people in conversation will say, well, you know, will you write about me if I do something horrible? The joke is, well, keep a diary. And in a way, they actually did keep a diary in that they were able to recover all of the instant messaging between the two of them as they're beginning their relationship. This is important because at the time, Kat McDonough is 17 years old and mom and dad won't let her go out and date a guy who is in his late 20s. So the most of their communication is electronic, and it gives you an unprecedented view of how the relationship begins and evolves, and you can read the manipulation that happens. As adults looking back, while we read it, it was very clear to us what he was doing. If you're a 17-year-old, it's a little more oblique.
The other thing that's really interesting is that there was more there than I think would have been there in a typical relationship, because Seth, I really come to believe, whatever his personality disorder is, and there's some debate about this, whether or not he's a narcissist, whether or not he's a sexual sadist, whether or not he has some sort of real personality disorder present, he has a need to basically relive every experience he has later in writing. So unlike other books we've written where the only way we're able to include dialogue is if we interview somebody and ask them what they said, he would say to her what he had said that day on their date, or, you know, they would basically rewrite the whole scene and relive it together in these late night Facebook messages and basically provide us with a complete picture of all of their interactions.
That must really change the game for true crime writers. I mean, we've heard, of course, of Truman Capote sitting there, you know, talking with those charged in the Clutter murders, you know, just eerie stuff. You're combing through this. What's that like?
Well, you know, in the past, we've had varying degrees of cooperation from the accused. I mean, Rebecca's spent a lot of time at the men's prison, probably more so than we'd like
doing
to admit.
Doing interviews.
And, you know, one of the major reasons that Seth and Kat, I'm assuming, did not participate is they're still in legal jeopardy at this point. Seth has an appeal, so it isn't in his best interest, obviously, to talk to some writers. And when it comes to the victim, in this case, Lizzie Marriott, I mean, there's no way to go back and interview them. However, because it's 2016, she left a large digital footprint through social media. So in addition to what people who knew about Lizzie contributed, we were able to get Lizzie in a lot of her own words and her own voice because of the way that she talked about her days on Facebook. And it was actually, you know, probably the best source, you know, first person of a murder victim that we've ever had.
And it took the least toll, I think. I think that, you know, we heard Sarah Koenig talking, I think, on the New Yorker Radio Hour about her.
This is the host of the Serial podcast.
The host of Serial, about how her relationship with Adnan Syed when she was taping season one was in some ways very gratifying as a journalist and in other ways very challenging, because you do have then a person who's incarcerated for a crime that they may or may not have committed, and you're really attached to them for long stretches of time. And when I've previously done in-prison interviews with somebody who had been convicted of a murder for one of our previous books, I can tell you it really does take a toll. Going to the prison takes a toll. Having to think about what you wear to prison takes a toll. Having to sit with somebody whom you know is leaving the table and going back to a cell and forming a relationship with them takes a toll. And I'm not saying that this is better necessarily, but it was certainly easier from the psychic standpoint, I think, as someone who writes a book like this.
We're talking about a 2012 murder case here in New Hampshire that grabbed a lot of headlines, captivated a lot of people. About Lizzie Marriott was the young woman who was murdered. It's a pretty grisly case. And Kevin Flynn and Rebecca Lavoy are with us. They are true crime writers and have written the story called Dark Heart, a true story of sex manipulation and murder. Well, Rebecca, I want to go back to that point of sort of coming to know a murderer. Now, you know the Netflix documentary, of course, Making a Murderer, mm-hmm. that a lot of people were captivated by just around Christmas time. And, you know, the filmmakers, the pair of them, got a lot of criticism for eliminating parts of the story, for only telling a certain part of the story, because they bought into the defense, I think, of the man who was charged with murder and his nephew. So how do you, I mean, you're working together, how do you sort of check each other to make sure that you're representing all sides of a story?
Well, two things. One is whenever you write, you should try to keep it maybe encapsulated, but keep it accurate and without distortion. Someone said, you know, that it should be like drawing a map. You on the map, you wouldn't have the mountain in full size, but on the map it should be, here's the mountain and here's the river and here's the relationship between them. So like all writers, you try to keep all of that in there and just condense it. And yeah, sometimes there are things where you have to make a determination that this interview with this other person isn't as important to the narrative arc as this interview is. So you sometimes make those decisions. And, you know, one of the most compelling parts of the whole story is Kat McDonough herself, because she was the state's star witness. But unlike any trial that we can remember, the question of her ultimate culpability, her honesty on the stand, was questioned openly in on social media.
Yeah, I remember
and
that. She didn't
coverage.
Cry. She said, "I was crying, but there were no tears." I
right,
remember
right.
That.
I can't remember a trial where basically people were suspicious of the state's star witness. Now, this had nothing to do with whether or not people thought Seth was guilty. This was a sort of independent, and this was where the argument came in. Do you believe Kat or do you not believe her?
Well, Kat does really come off as, well, let's say Seth comes off as this kind of sadistic Svengali, you know, who sort of lures in this young woman. So we get a somewhat sympathetic picture of her, I think. But this is the woman who, you know, as you mentioned, pushed the body of her dead friend into the Piscataqua River. And her sentence was pretty light because of a plea deal. How did Lizzie's family feel about that?
They were not happy, obviously. You know, they definitely felt like the laws in New Hampshire let them down, because as Rebecca said there, in this case, there wasn't really a lot that they could charge Kat with based on, you know, what they understood the circumstances of the incident to be. So they were, you know, very disappointed that to the length that she was not just legally culpable, but sort of morally culpable, that she couldn't be held fully accountable. However, at the end, there was some sort of ambivalence because the family did recognize that without Kat's cooperation with authorities, it would be very hard to get a conviction against Seth. And I think there was a quote from Lizzie's dad that, you know, said, if it were not for Seth Mazzaglia, what happened to Kat McDonough would not have happened.
I don't want to put words in Lizzie's father's mouth either specifically. However, when we did correspond with him, he didn't cooperate for the book fully, but we did have some correspondence with him. And the thing that he said to us was that it was very important to him that we highlight the pattern of domestic abuse in this story, which to me tells me that he understands that Kat was also a victim, you know, at least on some level in this story.
Mm. Well, it's a fascinating case, and I thank you so much for coming in and talking with us about
Thanks.
It.
Thanks. I actually came in. Rebecca was already here.
Thanks, Virginia.
Kevin Flynn and Rebecca Lavoie, co-authors of Dark Heart, A True Story of Sex Manipulation and Murder. They're also co-hosts of the podcast Crime Writers On. You'll find a link to both on our website, wordofmouthradio.org.